You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing and exposing the powerful homosexual activist movement. And once again today, we've got our good friend Jim Finnegan on the line. Jim, are you there?
I am, Peter. Glad to be back with you.
Well, it was a great interview last time, and we've also got the AFTA board member, John McCartney. John, welcome back.
Thank you.
And so this is the show where we have the two old farts and then the younger guy. Now, I'm not 50 yet, guys, but I'm not ancient like you guys. John's the octogenarian, and Finnegan, I don't know how old you are, but you
I'll be 78 in September. I can't argue with that description at all, Pete.
Well, and the funny thing is that you guys, as old guys, do more for pro family values still than I think than 90%, maybe 95% of healthy men in their 30s. So I don't know if that's shame on men in their 30s or just a credit to you guys, but you're both outstanding warriors, two of my favorite people. Also, I'm the lone Catholic out. I've got the two Catholic guys here and then LaBarbera. Now, I know Finnegan calls me a fallen away Catholic because I was raised Catholic, but we'll leave that for another debate, Jim. And we're here today to talk again about the Gay Liberation Network and the radical homosexual attack on the Catholic Church. That's what happens in Chicago, all over the country, the Catholic Church, and basically all religious bodies that are standing for traditional marriage between a man and a woman, of course, the idea that homosexual behavior is a changeable, destructive sin. Any church, any moral force that maintains that is under attack. But the Catholic Church, because it's so big, is actually one of the biggest targets, of course. And so we're talking about Catholics and the homosexual agenda. Last week, we talked about with Jim about this awful Gay Liberation Network protest in front of Holy Name Cathedral. Jim, that happened a couple weeks ago. We're pre-recording today, folks, on the 22nd of February. This is Wednesday. This is going to air the following Saturday. This happened a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Holy Name Cathedral, which is a big Catholic cathedral in Chicago, downtown Chicago. The Gay Liberation Network was there. And we've actually, guys, before we start, I've got some audio of what... Now, this is a Sunday morning, folks. Imagine going to church on Sunday morning and hearing this as you go in.
No more bigotry. No more bigotry. No more bigotry. No more bigotry.
Equal rights for straight people.
No more bigotry. No more bigotry. No more bigotry.
So you get the idea, folks. No more bigotry. In other words, the Cardinal George, who's the Catholic leader in the Chicago Archdiocese, Cardinal Francis George, of course, as we talked about with Jim last week, they called him Archbigot. And they're calling the teachings of the church, which upholds marriage between a man and a woman, as bigotry. I mean, imagine, Jim, coming into church on Sunday and having to pass through that.
It's about as disgusting as it gets, although, believe it or not, there's still a few things even that may even supersede that in the news this week. But that is pathetic. They show their true colors there. How dare them call themselves tolerant and show such little tolerance and feelings and compassion, really, towards people that on Sunday attend Mass to receive their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's pathetic.
Jim, John, what do you think about that? I mean, that's quite a precedence now. And I don't think the cops have to let them do that right in front of the church, but to have to pass through that on the way to church on Sunday, that's what we're facing now in this country.
Well, that's the game. That's their playbook. It's taken right out of their playbook. When you are trying to defend the indefensible, you'll have to come at people and, you know, short-circuit any attempt to dialogue or debate or defend, you know, the victim that you've targeted.
Yeah, and they've targeted the church, obviously. And Jim, as you know, me and Jim Finnegan talked about last week, the same Gay Liberation Network. Now, let's set the stage. You can catch the other interview. It's online at AmericansForTruth.org. Just go to the Americans for Truth, our website. Click on it. It's very easy to listen to. You can download it as well. But that same Gay Liberation Network, let's put this in context, folks. This is a homosexual organization which, when Americans for Truth, our banquet, was being held October 15th, the morning of the banquet, two, maybe even one, a pro-homosexual activist threw two large paver bricks through the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights, which was the host of our banquet, two large bricks through the glass doors of that Christian school, with a note attached that said, "Shut down Lively." Scott Lively was one of our speakers. We were honoring him. It said, "Shut down Lively." Then there was a hate note attached, of course, to that. And then there was a published online hate note threatening and basically taking responsibility for this awful act. Now, listen what the Gay Liberation Network said about that. Bob Schwartz with the Gay Liberation Network on a homosexual activist website wrote this. He said, "We did not, Gay Liberation did not and will not condemn the actions of persons who threw the paver bricks, assuming that they did so out of hatred for Lively, LaBarbera," that's me, president of Americans for Truth, "and the Christian Liberty Academy." In other words, he said he would not condemn an act of hateful violence against a Christian school. Now, I guarantee you, if John McCartney or Jim Finnegan, representing Americans for Truth or whatever pro-family group you were representing, and there came out after a brick attack against a homosexual organization, John, and said, "We will not condemn this attack on this gay activist group," I think you might be visited by the FBI. What do you think?
I think that's quite possible, quite likely.
John, Jim?
Yeah, no, that'd be absolutely the way they'd go. There's no question about that. And the other thing disturbing about this, you did the right thing in calling a press conference to let people know what happened and that it wasn't discussed from the from people like what Schwartz said. It was not attacked as something terribly wrong by the homosexual groups.
Well, you spoke at that press conference, Jim.
Yeah, and you know the sad thing, only one, it's back to the media, Peter, only one, I believe it was Fox News, even bothered to attend that.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they use that because it was the same Fox local Chicago News as some of you will remember who the previous banquet the year before sent an undercover reporter into our banquet to investigate the so-called hate group of AFTA. And they didn't come up with anything. We had Ken Hutcherson speak. He's a great Christian man, African-American leader. They didn't find any hatred, but they sent an undercover cop and they treated it like, oh, we're going to investigate this hate group. This is what Christians are facing, folks. And I want to say one more thing. A few homosexual activists still believe that Americans for Truth and the Christian Liberty Academy faked this hate crime against ourselves. that's how conspiratorial the other side is. They're acting. They still think that we did this.
A couple of things real quick, Peter. One thing to them, the end, no matter what the end is, always justifies the action. There's no question about it. Truth is the victim 90% of the time with their claims. That stands out all the time. But the other point is there are people like yourself, like John on your show, and many others that they're not going to intimidate. They if anything, you've been more reactive. I don't know how you could be more reactive, but you really have in what they did. They think this will silence people, but the right person, if anything, it motivates them to speak for the truth and fairness even more than ever.
Yeah, you're right. We have to be emboldened by the acts of hatred and intolerance from the homosexual side. And everybody knows, everybody who's followed this knows that the homosexual activist lobby is one of the most hateful and intolerant special interest groups in American society. It's that simple. We've talked many times about Dan Savage with his Santorum.com redefining Rick Santorum's name as the byproduct of anal sex. I mean, can you get any more hateful than that? And yet Dan Savage, folks, the creator of this vile website, Santorum.com, victimizing the whole Santorum family, He is now, I think he's going to get a show on MTV. He's still treated as a celebrated gay activist spokesman by the media. I mean, the double standard in this culture on the homosexual issue, John, it's appalling what's happened.
Well, certainly it's appalling, and you can trace it back, I think.
It goes back to the homosexual lobby has cultivated the media for years, decades, and we're now at the point, you guys, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, where, it's paid off for them. The media is basically acting as if there's no legitimate other side. And even when you get somebody as hateful as Dan Savage, who does this thing, which even some homosexual activists, I think, are uncomfortable with, this idea of, redefining Rick Santorum's name, or you got Wayne Besson, who calls me Porno P, with the childish name calling. The immaturity of some of these people is just unbelievable to behold. But I think that what's happened is the media now, they know the media is in their pocket, and so they're being even more aggressive against people of faith because they're really not being held accountable. John?
I was going to say that after the ball, Kirk and Madsen's book.
That's a homosexual activist book. We got 30 seconds, John.
Okay. The advice given in there to try to switch public conception of homosexuals from to...
we were talking about this before, from the idea of homosexual behavior to a sort of a victimized minority. Let's talk about that after the break. We're talking to John McCartney and Jim Finnegan. Jim's down in Florida. John McCartney is a board member for Americans for Truth here in Chicago. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour, and I guess I should have provided a little bit more introduction to my two guests. John McCartney is a longtime pro-family, pro-life advocate. He's a former teacher in the Chicago school system. He's now on the board of Americans for Truth. He's followed the homosexual activist movement for decades. He's an expert in his own right on the propaganda tactics of the left and the homosexual agenda. With a special focus on what's been going on in Chicago. Jim Finnegan is just another great pro-life, pro-family activist. You can learn more from the last show, but Jim has been rallying for the Choose Life license plates. He's also active. Choose Life, that would be the license plates that would be used if allowed as specialty license plates in the state of Illinois, would be sold. And then some of the proceeds would go towards encouraging adoption in the state of Illinois. But our liberal state run by Democrats is so screwed up that poor Jim has been laboring at this for years just to try to get these specialty plates approved. Jim is also on the board of an Illinois Family Institute, where I used to work, a great pro-family, pro-life organization in Illinois. I encourage you to visit their website, illinoisfamily.org. Jim has been a longtime supporter of Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. And Jim is also active with Defend Marriage Illinois, which is a petition drive to try to get on the ballot a resolution affirming marriage between one man and one woman. And that website is defendmarriageillinois.org, I think, or .com. And, folks, the good news about, we talk a lot about the radical gay agenda, but the good news is people are finally waking up. They're seeing the threat to religious liberty. They're seeing the intolerance. I mean, can you imagine going to church and having to pass through Andy Thayer, who's one of the most radical homosexual activists, a Marxist group, Gay Liberation Network? They can't even condemn hate violence against Christians. These guys are so radical. People are waking up. I haven't talked to one person who's learned about Santorum.com, the awful website, who's just not shocked by the infantile, hate and just shocking, vileness of it. And so, if they want, if the gay side, so-called, wants to have Dan Savage as a spokesman, I think I would support that, because he's certainly not going to, in the long run, show that this is a movement that advocates, true tolerance. Guys, let's talk about Catholics and homosexuality. The left is repeating again and again, and Jim, you and I talked about this. They're saying, most Catholics now, polls find that most Catholics support so-called marriage between two people of the same sex. Jim, I believe you said last time that does not reflect the thoughts and beliefs of more faithful Catholics.
Absolutely. And you know, let's be clear on this. This is back to a while back. I said to them, the end justifies any means being used, and including disparaging a religious organization that's been around since Christ walked in this earth 2,000 years ago. It doesn't, you know, they attack it. But when you get right down to it, you can call yourself anything you want. You could call yourself an astronaut, and you've never been out of your front door. You've never been in an airplane, let alone a missile. But basically, in calling and making a statement like that, in almost all cases, whether it's Pelosi, whether in Illinois, or Biden, in Illinois itself with Madigan, Quinn, and Cullerton.
Mike Madigan, Pat Quinn,
yeah,
the governor.
These are people that call themselves Catholic, but by definition, to be Catholic, you have to follow the church's teachings. And on abortion and marriage, if you aren't following the church's teaching, you, by your actions alone, have separated yourself from the church. Actually, Canon Law 1398 in the Catholic theology clearly says that people that have not only people that have obtained an abortion or performed an abortion, but people whose actions, without that, the abortion would not have taken place. They, by their very action, it's called latae sententia, have excommunicated themselves from the church. But you don't hear any of that from the people that are trying to lay this on the Catholic Church. It's far from it. The Catholic Church will always lead the way against this. You'll never see the Catholic Church bear, and this is why they attack you so hard. You'll never see the Catholic Church bow to accepting the killing of the unborn or accepting a marriage of two men or two women together.
Now, John, tell me about. I talked to somebody who was troubled because it was a they had knew somebody who was an open homosexual, obvious with her lesbian partner saw them, and they had the. This is at we're recording on Ash Wednesday, folks. They had the ashes on the forehead, so here they are, openly homosexual. And they're still going through the rituals of the church, and yet they're in flagrant violation of its teachings. What does the church say about that?
Well, it's the priest in that parish, if he didn't know them and know their living arrangement, wouldn't be culpable. If they were women that attended Mass and it was very obvious they were lovers, living together, whatever, as lesbians— the priest would be morally bound to not give them communion. Anyone can come in, step into a Catholic church. Our parish has a few panhandlers every now and then, even during the services. But you do not have a right to receive the body of Christ because you are living in a sinful situation. Now, depending on the degree of compulsion, the culpability lessens or lessens, but still they want acceptance. They are maybe hadn't gone to church for years, but now they want to step in there and they want approval. They want to receive the Eucharist to show that that what they're doing, they love one another, and they don't think about what Tina Turner said, that what's love got to do with it? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I want to get to this before, if you don't mind. Many, many of our priests have been immobilized by guilt. And you see that everywhere. They're afraid to speak out, not only on this issue, but abortion and contraception. But on this issue, they've been immobilized because going back to after the ball, those two very brilliant Madison Street advertising geniuses.
This is After the Ball, written by two homosexual activists.
Right. One of whom died at 47 of a mysterious disease, end quote. They were able to shift. At one time, homosexual behavior was problematic. It was looked down on. It was recognized as a devious sexual deviation. They wrote this book and were able to shift the public gaze or public view away from the deviant behavior onto what they created, what they presented the homosexual as a persecuted victim for whom pity was warranted and appropriate. Now, who's going to kick someone for whom pity is warranted, is obligatory, okay?
And also the idea of a minority.
Right,
that
right.
That was a cultivated status. Well, it goes way back to Harry Hay, I think, one of the early homosexual activists in America, cultivating the idea of homosexuals as a persecuted minority. And they are largely perceived as such today. And what you're saying is that the guilt is taking over. People aren't thinking straight, but it kind of, there's more culpability, to use your word, for people of faith, or people at least who are saying they practice a religion, to follow the teachings of that religion. And let me just read a passage from this Catholic
letter,
Non-Discrimination Against Homosexual Persons. This came out in the 80s. It's put out by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Jim, explain what the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith is.
Well, this is basically the church personnel, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, certainly from the Holy Father himself, truths that are universally agreed upon, is the way I understand it, and there's not a lot of wiggle room within there. I mean,
listen what it says, Jim.
Homosexuality is prohibited very clearly. That type of thing.
Well, and this is what I find interesting. We may have to go past the break to get some of these teachings, but I don't think 95% of Catholics have understood this. And I think this particular booklet would be beneficial to just about anybody to read. Let me read some passages. Although the particular inclination of the homosexual person is not a sin, it is more or less a strong tendency ordered towards an intrinsic moral evil.
Yes.
And thus the inclination itself must be seen as an objective disorder.
That's exactly, Peter, right out of the Catholic right out of our catechism of the Catholic Church on 2357. I just was researching this for a letter that I do a lot of letters down here, and I'm going to get this out fairly soon here in the Naples paper. Anyway, 2357, I guess you'd call it, that statement or ruling or whatever you want to put on it, says very clearly homosexuality is intrinsically disordered and contrary to natural law. I mean, that's about as clear as it can get.
Yeah. And what I find fascinating is there's some really good writing here about how Catholicism and Catholic leaders must not embrace gay rights. And yet we know, John, and we'll have to go after the break, but a minute left here. We have, and I'm going to read a passage after the break, but there have been bishops and there have been priests who have backed so-called gay rights laws against the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Jim probably knows this, that Archbishop Weakland, who was morally compromised, he was maintaining a lover, and he paid him off $400,000.
This is the Bishop
Milwaukee.
Of Milwaukee.
He was a staunch opponent of, let's put it this way, he strove to suppress this, and other bishops collaborated. I'm not saying they were morally compromised, but Archbishop Mahoney, Cardinal Mahoney, was one of them. They suppressed this, which was so badly needed at the time.
Yeah. Also in Detroit, I don't remember his name, the same thing going on over there. He had a brother, the cardinal over there, the bishop, had a brother that was homosexual, and he didn't stand up to it either. Do you remember his name?
Gumbleton.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
That's it.
We'll get to that, folks. We're talking to Jim Finnegan and John McCartney. We're with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, and I should make a pitch for Americans for Truth. We need funding, folks, so if you're feeling so inclined, give us a gift. You can go to AmericansForTruth.org. You can give at the donate button. And I thank all of you who have contributed to our efforts. We are a unique organization. We tell the hard truths about homosexuality. We have something up on the website now about from a medical transcriptionist. And this woman, we used an anonymous name. We don't want to have her get hate calls on her phone or anything. Not that the loving, tolerant homosexual activist would ever bombard somebody with hate calls. Just a joke there. But she had many occasion to see reports, to write, type up reports involving homosexual men and the diseases that they contract, and not just HIV, anal warts, rectal cancer. I mean, there are maladies associated with the practice of unnatural sexual behavior, which is what homosexual behavior is. Male homosexuality in particular is linked to disproportionately to numerous diseases and maladies, and that's on our website. And, there's lots of stuff like that, so just go to AmericansForTruth.org, but we thank you for our support. John, quickly, describe what your take on, just for the layman, what is the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith?
It's a congregation set up to monitor what's being taught throughout the world, what's being presented as valid theology, and to call attention to what deviates as from, say, the Catechism of the Catholic Church that Jim referenced. And to call attention to it and to educate the diocese that's been miseducated by a bishop whose theology is in variation or in variance with the Catholic, true Catholic teaching.
Okay, now let me read this, guys, and then I want to get your reaction. This is another passage from the booklet, Non-Discrimination Against Homosexual Persons, which came out in the 80s.
1992.
No, 1992, I'm sorry. Now, was this Cardinal Ratzinger at the time who wrote this?
He's Pope
okay.
now.
At point 7, it says that it is deplorable that homosexual persons have been and are the object of violent malice in speech or in action. Such treatment deserves condemnation from the church's pastors, and I think you would find Christians, you would have people from whatever denominations, of course, condemning violent speech or hateful acts towards homosexuals. But then it goes on, quote, but the proper reaction to crimes committed against homosexual persons should not be to claim that the homosexual condition is not disordered. When such a claim is made and when homosexual activity is consequently condoned, or when civil legislation, in other words, bills in Congress or in state houses or wherever, when civil legislation is introduced to protect behavior to which no one has any conceivable right, neither the church nor society at large should be surprised when other distorted notions and practices gain ground. In other words, there is no right to homosexuality. Another passage of this document, including homosexual orientation among the considerations on the basis of which it is illegal to discriminate, can easily lead. Now, we're talking about gay rights laws there, folks. Can easily lead to regarding homosexuality as a positive source of human rights. For example, in respect to so-called affirmative action or preferred treatment in hiring practices. Now, let's remember the Obama administration is now treating homosexuality and gender identity, which would be transgenderism, across the world as a positive basis for human rights. So everything that they're talking about here is starting to transpire, guys. In other words, you can't treat homosexuals meanly. You can't abuse people. We condemn bullying towards so-called gay youth or any child, anybody in student. You can't. Of course, that's all proscribed throughout all of Christendom. But translating compassion for individuals should never be conflated with supporting rights, so-called, based on homosexuality. And yet this is now being done in the name of Christianity, not just by Catholics, by evangelicals now. You've got people like Grove City College Professor Warren Throckmorton has endorsed civil unions. You've got liberal evangelicals. You've got liberal Catholics. And they're all embracing gay rights in the name of compassion. Jim, what's your reaction to that?
Well, this is exactly what they planned. You got to give the devil their due, I guess. This is how they planned from the very beginning to force the acceptance of this down the throats of Americans, all the way to teaching it in the school system and so forth. This is one of the steps to present them as victims. I argue constantly with this nonsensical statement that that they're born that way. If that's true, explain to me then how many people, the thousands, have left that lifestyle with as long as the desire is there. It's no different than, in my opinion, than someone having to get to rid themselves of alcoholism, drugs, or whatever. It's a decision that they have to make, and and that's part and parcel. I don't know whether it was after the ball, but it certainly was in the book that I've read the head of Alliance Defense Fund, Peter. You know, when we used to hand that book out on
Alan Sears.
Yeah, Alan Sears. He made that very, very clear on that book that this is one of their goals. They're going to preach that and keep it up as long as people will swallow it and accept it.
And I want to talk to John here about the fact that people have been manipulated. John, you just are almost done with the book. Can I have a copy hanging over here? This is a book by Charles Silverstein, who is one of the leaders in pushing for the American Psychiatric Association I believe it was the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, to take homosexuality off the list of mental disorders. This happened in 72, 73. Now, John, you're reading this book, but before you do, I want to give some intro from a NARTH article. NARTH is the National Association for Research and Therapy about Homosexuality, a wonderful group. I recommend their website, narth.com. Charles Silverstein, it turns out, is quite the pervert. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
No.
He wrote a book called The New Joy of Gay Sex. It's just incredible. In the book, he advocates orgies for homosexuals, and he writes this in the book. He says, quote, "More than one gay youth has been astounded to discover that his presence in a state of excitation, if not undress, was all that was needed to begin an orgy among a group of men. There are several ways to bring the participants together, or you can, or you can go out and round up likely candidates." Here are some categories for the book written by Dr. Silverstein, one of the leaders who helped lead the way to take off homosexuality being classified as a mental disorder in the psychiatric community. Here are some categories: sadomasochism, bondage, fuck buddies, orgies, rimming, sadomasochism, sex with animals, three ways, water sports, which would be sex play with urine. I mean, these perverted categories. John, you just read the book. Tell us about this book by this leader in the psychiatric community.
Well, I'd recommend it. It's not pornographic. It's not strictly pornographic. It's a memoir by Charles Silverstein, or Silverstein, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's called For the Ferryman. It has a reference to crossing the River Styx. But he took in a homeless, confused, androgynous young man and made him his lover for 20-some years. A young man died of AIDS eventually. And Silverstein did care for him in the last two or three years. But what's important to this program is the doctor talks about, as a younger psychiatrist and activist, gay liberation activist, he and a group of followers would go to these meetings of psychoanalysts who were trying to fathom what homosexuality was all about and how to relieve pain that some homosexuals were feeling. They were constructive. He brags about going around and zapping these meetings, that is, using what I would call fascist Nazi or communist tactics to frighten people, to short-circuit debate, and to close the case in their favor.
So zapping would be sort of a surprise, activist assault, disruption,
verbal violence,
by verbal attacks by homosexual activists disrupting an otherwise orderly academic meeting, and they call it zapping. This has been used on other people. I believe Rush Limbaugh was zapped once. Of course, Anita Bryan had got a pie in the face. These are intimidation tactics, John. And tell, I mean, so basically, you've got people who are there for an academic reason. They out of the goodness of their heart, they want to help homosexuals. These guys basically impose their homosexual activist values on these poor academic types and these psychoanalysts, and they basically they intimidated them.
I want to say, Peter, I don't have much time. I'll be very brief. On that page you have there, Ronald Baer, B-A-Y-E-R, wrote Homosexuality in American Psychiatry, done by Basic Books in 1991. He recounts, he's not unfavor, he doesn't deal unfavorably with the homosexual activists, but he recounts at scholarly meetings in preparation to discussing the removal of this behavior from the diagnostic manual and so forth, that these activists leaped on the platform and pulled the microphone out of the hands of a scholar. They planted hecklers in the audience in such a number that security couldn't deal with them. They panicked. These psychiatrists are not truck drivers. Many of them are very fragile. They're scholars. It was terror. And that was no scientific decision. That had no scientific merit whatsoever.
Yes, and yet it had a lasting impact because all of a sudden it was declared basically that homosexuality was normal, which we know it's not. You can't just achieve truth through political terrorism. We're talking to Jim Finnegan and my friend John McCartney, who's on the board of Americans for Truth. We'll be right back after the break. Our website where you can get old interviews is americansfortruth.org. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. Our old interviews going back to last year are all at americansfortruth.org. Now, let's get back to Catholics and homosexuality. We find many people change their views on homosexuality because they know somebody. Somebody in their family is homosexual or a cousin or a relative or a close friend. And Jim, you said that would be like changing your view on drinking because you know an alcoholic. Expand on that if you could.
That'd be an example of that, certainly. But that is one of the things that is so wrong, because if you do know someone that is going through the grief that you've talked about earlier, the disease, the depression, the increase in suicide, the dead-end aspect of it, because during your life, as we know, actual figures show they've had in the neighborhood of thousands, literally thousands of encounters. But when they get older, there's no one like we have our families to fall back on, our children, our grandchildren. It is a terrible dead end, and you're not doing them a favor. You're right on that.
Now let me clarify, Jim, just so we don't get smashed here by gay activists. That was you're referring to books by certain gay activist scholars. There was a portion of homosexuals in the 80s, especially. When it was even more promiscuity, there were some people who had partners in the just obscenely high numbers of sexual partners. Now, the numbers are lower today, but still, you have venues such as gay bathhouses where there is basically multiple partner orgies and such that are encouraged in these atmospheres. John, let me ask you, this is one of the most common things, not just for Catholics, for virtually anybody now. People just don't seem to be able to handle, how do I respond to a movement which my faith tells me, my moral background tells me is wrong, homosexual behavior, and yet I know these people, and it's out of a goodness. They don't want to harm the people, but they're translating that into embracing a sinful ideology.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have other relatives, but I have two cousins, one on each side of the family. And knowing they were homosexual might cause me to indulge what they're doing, but knowing about them has strengthened my understanding of homosexuality. One cousin came from a home where the father was had a good job, but was alcoholic. The family was practically destitute, even though he was making good money. When the father came home, the mother had to beat him physically, and that's not good role modeling for a boy. So the boy came out very effeminate and a practicing homosexual, had various boyfriends. Another cousin, whom I was very close to, admired a lot. He was abused early. He was taken and picked up by the youth authority in Kansas City for molesting a younger child, and he followed that. He strove to, to give the appearance of a heterosexual. He married a wonderful woman, and just had lost interest in her totally. And just after a few incidents, alcohol-related incidents, he had disappeared into Chicago, wanted nothing to do with us. But I could understand his background. He wasn't born homosexual. Events directed him that way.
Yeah, and let me read you something, boy. And Jim, I don't know if you've heard about this, but of course, you're now in the news here is the case of the Phoenix sheriff.
Yes,
Paul Barbeau.
Coming out, exactly.
Yes, now he's come out so-called as homosexual, and he's a conservative Republican, or he was regarded as such. Now,
I believe he was in the Marines or something.
Well, listen to this.
Everything else.
Yeah, now here's the part that's relevant to what you just said, John. There's a report here on KTAR.com. Barbeau says he was victim of priest abuse. Pinal County Sheriff Paul Barbeau, a leader in the fight for border security, says his views were molded when he was sexually assaulted as a child by a Catholic priest. Now, I haven't read all the news stories about this guy, but he's saying he's gay, and yet we know he was the victim of predatory abuse. Now, I've said many times, somebody like that is a victim. They're not a natural homosexual. They're a victim of a homosexual predator. And what's so sad, and Jim, this is the saddest thing of all, is when you see somebody who's been a victim of a pedophile or an older homosexual man or woman, as Linda Jernigan was. She's a ex-lesbian from Chicago. She was victimized by an older lesbian woman. To then say that when you have these unnatural sexual attractions and feelings, to say that you're gay or lesbian when you're obviously just a victim of a predator, that is so tragic.
Well, we do know without any question that many of the homosexuals were victimized, like John Story. Those were perfect examples, were victimized as children themselves. And I can't understand that, how that would make them homosexual themselves. I'm not a psychiatrist.
But clearly, Jim, if it were any other issue and there wasn't the political correctness associated with homosexuality, we would say, hey, this awful experience, this early sexualization and this deviant sexual activity influenced your later thoughts and feelings. But there's this sort of odd, counterintuitive denial that the molestation had anything to do with the gay, so-called gay identity.
And you know, the thing you can take out of this, this violence that caused it, whatever label you want to put on it, but now the government is aiding it himself by allowing in Massachusetts, they're going through a struggle in Maryland right now, they're allowing that lifestyle to be legitimized in every way sense that it can be once the judges have ruled the wrong way and all of a sudden you've got homosexuality accepted in those six states where it is, then it has to be taught to these kids. They're basically, without the parents' involvement usually, an inability to opt in or opt out, they're the ones that are introducing people to this the way the violence situation is.
Yeah, and it goes on and on, and we've only got 2 minutes left, but I do want to say, and I think you guys probably would agree with me, I'm the only one here not a practicing Catholic, but I think that it would behoove the church and anybody where these molestations are occurring to get all the facts out, to get all the people who've ever been charged, who there's ever been any case against, to get that all out, because when the cover-ups occur, the problem is it makes people cynical about the church body. It makes people cynical about religion in general. And I just wish the Catholic Church, I think they would be well, you know, the homosexuals got in the Catholic Church, the predators got in.
Exactly. Now, that's a key point, Peter, to stress. There's no question they had this plan. Just like I said a while back, they have an agenda on how they're going to get it done. They put the wrong people into the seminaries by mistake, and they didn't handle it right when it became clear what was going on. However, since that has happened, very, very few of these incidents, minute almost, have occurred since then.
Yeah, and you know, and the old ones, they ought to just clean house and get it all out in the open. And that goes for not just the Catholic Church, that goes for any church. Of course, a lot of other denominations also have abuses. The schools have had some terrible...
The schools are the worst.
Schools are the worst. There's been abuses there. Get it all out in the open. But guys, Jim, one more minute. I'm going to go to you. What do you say to the person who is maybe confused, say a Catholic who's confused? You've got 30 seconds. What do you say to them about how to think about this issue?
Well, first of all, you have to show compassion. There's no question about it at all. But by the same token, you have to be true to your teachings, true to your faith. I mean, nothing's any worse than someone that you've described that by intimidation or by lies and falsehoods are a very good point. Their cousin, their uncle, they know someone that's homosexual. You do what you can for that person. You don't turn them out. But the truth is the truth, and you have to stand up for it, no question about it.
And that person will be better served by dealing with the truth than the false compassion, which says, oh, you're gay. Thanks, Jim, for being with us. Thank you, John, so
you're
much
welcome.
To you both. You guys are great Americans.
You're welcome.
And you can write them through our website at AmericansForTruth.org. Go out and stand for truth. Come visit us at AmericansForTruth.org. God bless.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.